So good to see each and every one of you here at Grace Bible Church today. In our call to worship this morning, we have been working our way through the book of Ruth. And we come today to chapter 2, where we read, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz." Isn't it interesting that she, in the previous section there, was saying, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Bitterness has followed me." And then in this next verse here, we find that Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Now, Boaz is going to be the kinsman redeemer. He's going to be the one that steps up and is able to restore the whole property issue, restore wealth back to Naomi's name, because this man is of the house of Elimelech. And I couldn't help but think, isn't it wonderful that Jesus Christ is of the house of God? That He, as the Son, could be our kinsman redeemer? That we would be, though we have nothing, we have nothing. You know, you can't take anything with you. We have nothing, and yet through Jesus Christ, we have everything. Naomi, who saw only her future as being bitter and difficult, finds in this very next verse the person that is going to... Now, there's going to be a lot of different storylines that go on and how Boaz finally becomes the kinsman redeemer because there was somebody that was closer. But you know what? There's no one closer than the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nobody else. There's no one that's going to pop up and say, "No, I'm the kinsman redeemer. No, I'm the kinsman redeemer." Jesus Christ is the only kinsman redeemer. I'm thankful that there was a Boaz for Naomi. And I'm thankful today that there's a Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for each and every one of us here and for all mankind, past, present, and maybe future, that the Lord Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. And though we would cry out and say, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara," there is one who is sweeter than honey. There is one who is more lovely than the lilies. And it's the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And He can lift you out of your sorrow and difficulty, and He can place your feet, as Psalm 40 says, on a rock. And that rock never moves. May God help us today as we've gathered together to worship the Lord, to keep those thoughts in mind, and to be thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ today.
Amen. Let's begin our singing today with number 204. Number 204, a thanksgiving hymn. "Come ye thankful people, come." Let's stand together. Number 204.
Thank you.
prayers, Brother Bill Farrington comes to lead us this morning.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do once again thank Thee that we can be here today as a group of believers
in Your Son, the Lord
Jesus Christ, our Savior from heaven, Your Son, Your plan for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, our salvation. And we come to Thee today and we thank Thee for this period of time that we can be here. We thank Thee for this season of the Thanksgiving season, where we think of all of the blessings that You have given to us, the spiritual blessings, Father, most of all, blessings that we have and share by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and for what He has done for us. And Father, as we come to this time, we pray that today, that what we do in this service today may honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for our brother, Brother Ribeiro, as he comes and ministers the word to us. We thank Thee for him and for his wife and for his family and for his faithful testimony in that land of Brazil, Lord, and all that You have done through him. Lord, we praise Thee because it is not of any man that anything is accomplished. It is the grace, Your grace at work in the lives of men and women that accomplishes Your task here upon this earth. And we thank Thee for him and his ministry and for what we learned this morning and the updates that he's given us about his work there. And we just pray, Lord, that You would be with him today and give him the words to speak to us, that our hearts may be challenged to further join ourselves in prayer and giving with the ministry of our faithful missionaries across this world. Father, I pray today, our hearts, we come to Thee, and when our hearts are heavy for us, Lord, for the loss of our dear sister, Mrs. Norma Woods. Father, I pray for the Woods family this week, that You would be with them. I thank Thee, Lord, for their testimony. I thank Thee for Mrs. Woods' testimony. Father, we meet each Sunday and each week to gather around Your Word, to pray, to hear Your Word taught. But Father, it is of these times of life when death comes into families. Father, that is our hope. For as Paul said, if we only have hope in this life, we're of all men most miserable. And we know that it is our hope of eternity, our hope past the grave, Father, is what we cling to. And I pray that this week and during these period of time and these months and years, Father, that You would be especially dear to the Woods family, that You would be dear to them, that Your grace would be at work in their lives to bring through Your Holy Spirit the comfort and the peace to know that Mrs. Woods was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and she is with You in heaven today. For as You said in Your word, Lord, that You are not the God of the dead, You're the God of the living. And the living are with You right now, and that is our hope, and that is our faith, and that is our trust. And I pray that through Your Spirit You would make that reality real in our hearts, real in our minds, and that You would be with them. And I just thank Thee for her faithful testimony in this church and in this ministry all the years of my life and before that. And Lord, I just pray that You would be with them, and we thank Thee. And Father, we thank Thee for this ministry that You have raised up here. We can take it for granted if we do not think about it, that You have raised up this local ministry in this town with the church, the school, the outreach ministry of the ball program, the outreach ministry of the projector, and the Children's Bible Club, all these various facets of the ministry to give out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just thank Thee for its place here in the local ministry that it has, but also across this country and across the world. And Lord, I just pray that we would be faithful to it. I pray that You would bring families to Grace Bible Church, Lord, that we would be able to minister to them, that You would give grace in the lives of those that we have an outreach to in the church and the outreach ministries. And Father, I just pray today that in all that we do, that Jesus Christ would be honored and glorified, our Savior, that we would love Him with all of our hearts beyond anything in this world, and that today our souls would be drawn closer to Thee. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated as we turn now over to number 31 to sing another Thanksgiving hymn. Number 31, We Gather Together. Let's turn to number 202 before the message this morning. Number 202. We'll sing just on the first and second verses, verses 1 and 2. Thanks to God for my Redeemer, and this hymn enumerates many things to be thankful for. I hope they're true in our hearts as well. Verses 1 and 2, number 202.
It's our privilege today to have with us Rahm and Rachel Ribeiro. I tell you, the Lord has certainly done a work of grace in the life of Rahm, saved whenever he was 12 years old out of a home where the gospel was not preached and proclaimed, and God called him to go back to his own people. Others tried to discourage him, saying it wasn't possible that that could happen, but God can use anyone that's willing to be used of the Lord. And so, Brother Rahm, would you come and share what the Lord has laid on your heart this morning?
Thank you, Pastor.
Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much. I do not take for granted the privilege of being one of your missionaries. Pastor Todd was here giving a brief devotion, remember, at the beginning of the service. And then I thought, you know what? He should be doing the preaching today. I don't remember ever sitting down under his preaching, because every time I come here, he asks me to preach. But perhaps next time, if I come on a Sunday morning like this, I can teach Sunday school and he can preach the morning service. So I can be blessed by his preaching as well, because I noticed just in a few words that he loves the Bible and he speaks with the Spirit of God in his life. What a blessing to be a part of this church and to be here every service, to hear the Word of God from the men of God. We are grateful for this church. We are grateful for Aunt Carolina, Mrs. Hobbs. How many of you are grateful for her? Isn't she a blessing? And my girls and my wife back in Brazil, they have been using some of your materials for children. So you're here in Milton, Florida, but your ministry has been all over the world. Your ministry has been in Brazil, Mrs. Hobbs. Thank you so much. And thank you for our friendship. I feel so comfortable when I come to this church. And of course, I have some good friends from old times that are members of this church. Thank you so much. I want to be a blessing to you this morning, and I prayed God would use me to be such a blessing. Would you please open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. I want to speak to you this morning how to obey the Great Commission of Jesus, how to fulfill the greatest commandment that he left for the church as a body of believers. I know, individually, the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart. And the second greatest commandment, to love thy neighbor as thyself. But to the church, as an institution, as a body of believers, this is the greatest commandment. the Great Commission of Jesus, repeated in the four Gospels and here in the book of Acts, also paraphrased by the apostles throughout the whole New Testament. Jesus reserved his very last words to speak about missions. Isn't that amazing? He could have talked about any other subject. He could have talked about prophecies, about the law of Moses, about the prophets, any event from the Old Testament. But he decided to speak about missions, because missions is the heart of God. Because God so loved the world, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. So it was very necessary that he told the church before going up to heaven, "But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." I want to call your attention to only three simple words in this commandment. The first word is the word power. The word power, which means dynamite. What happens to a dynamite when you use it? Explodes, and nothing remains the same around it. So Jesus is telling us here that as we fulfill his great commission, as we preach the gospel, he was going to provide us with power. So when we preach the gospel, nothing will remain the same. Nothing will be the same in our lives and in the lives of the people we are trying to reach with the Word of God. But some of us are trying to accomplish the work of God without this power. Now, don't take me wrong. I'm not a mystical person, but the power of God is real. The power of God is available. And the power of God is within each one of us who is dwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. The power of God is not an energy. The power of God is a person. And that person is the Holy Spirit of God. And we have it in our hearts. So it is available to all of us here this morning to accomplish the work of God by His power. It doesn't matter if you're teaching, if you're playing the piano, if you're singing. You can always do the work of God under the power of God. But it was Hudson Taylor who once said that if God removed the Holy Spirit from the face of the earth, 90% of what we are doing will not suffer any change. You know what he meant by that? That we are not depending on God when we are doing His work, but we are depending on ourselves. We are depending on our abilities. We are depending on our personalities. We are depending on our personal gifts when we are doing the work of God. So no wonder nothing would change if God removes His Holy Spirit from us. No wonder also that some things we do for God do not succeed, does not remain, because we are not doing it under the power of God. We need His power if we want to be more useful in the kingdom of God. Now, you know, we have been in Brazil now for 23, 24 years as missionaries. And some people do ask us, what is the secret of our success? They think we are successful because we have established 5 Bible-believing churches. God has allowed us to be on the radio 3 times a day, 7 days a week. He has allowed us to establish a Christian school as well, and a seminary. Many other ministries we have accomplished in the last 24 years. And as a fundamentalist, Bible-believing preacher, I always have the answer, right? They ask me, what's the secret of this success? I have to answer them. I cannot be quiet about it. And I answer with conviction, I don't know. I don't know. And this is the power of God. The power of God is something that you cannot explain. The power of God is something that you cannot give details about it, because it is a miracle. And miracles are not explainable. Miracles are events that happen above our abilities, above our comprehension, above our own will. We cannot write a book on the power of God, on the miracles of God, and explain to people how it happens and how to repeat them in other places, because it is beyond our understanding. But I have come to one conclusion. We don't see miracles in the present. No. In the present, we see hardship. In the present today, we see suffering, tribulations, testings. This is what we see in the present. Just problems. But we don't see miracles in the future either, because we have not been there yet. And the future does not belong to us. It belongs to God. But each time you and I look back, one day, a week, a month, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years ago, 23, 24 years ago, then we can see the miracles of God being poured into our lives. We can see the power of God in our family members. We can see the provision of God, the presence of God. We can see the protection of God. When we look back, we can count the blessings. But we don't see the power of God in the present. We don't see His miracles right now before our eyes. But when we look back, we can understand that we have arrived here only by the grace of God. We have come this far only by the power of God. I remember when my wife and I and baby Rochelle went to the Midwest of Brazil to establish our first church. Since we didn't have money to rent a building, we began our services in a precarious shed in our backyard. You remember reading about the shed? That shed is famous to this day. Tiny shed, small shed, the ceiling was very low. The shed was so hot, no air conditioning, nothing to make it comfortable. It was ugly. And yet we put an old piano in the shed, a few chairs in the shed, a small pulpit in the shed. And I told my wife, the shed is ugly, but we can have quality in the shed. So she would practice the piano during the week as if she were going to play for a recital. And I would prepare my sermons and my lessons as if I were going to preach to a 1,000 people church. People started coming to the shed. The shed was ugly, but they were well fed in the shed. And we had people coming to the shed just because of the sound of the piano. They would hear it outside, and that sound would call their attention, and they would come inside the shed. The shed was so ugly. The shed was so precarious, and yet the shed was God's. I put the name on the shed, Maranatha Baptist Temple. I called the shed a temple. But some neighbors did not appreciate that. One day, two of them stood up in front of the shed, and they prophesied against the shed. One neighbor said to the other, "The pastor of this shed, he must be a crook. He must be a dishonest man. He is here to make money out of the people." The other neighbor answered him, Don't worry, I promise you that in less than 3 months, this shed will die out. What they didn't know is that the shed was not mine, but it was God's. It was the power of God, not the power of man. And to make a long story short, the first man who used to think that I was dishonest came one day to the shed. Rachel mentioned him this morning in Sunday school, and he got saved. And he became the first treasurer of the shed. And later, the first deacon of the shed. This is explained only by the power of God. The other man, who said the shed was going to die out in 3 months, he also came to the shed with his family. They all got saved, and he became the first ordained preacher of the shed. The shed did not die out, much the opposite. The shed became, some years later, one of the largest independent Baptist church of Brazil. A church that was born in the shed with only 3 people became one of the largest independent Baptist church of Brazil. How can we explain that? Only by the power of God. We don't need to work for God without His power. We don't need to sacrifice our time and ourselves for God without His power. His power is available. We cannot depend on our diplomas, on our education. We cannot depend on our methods and abilities. Hudson Taylor also used to say, we need to work as if everything depends on us, but we need to pray knowing that everything depends on God. In the shed, I told my wife, you and I are a church already, so let's take on 2 missionaries' families for support. Let's support them by faith, just like our sending churches are doing for us in the States. So we took on 2 missionary families and we put their pictures on the wall, like you do here. So when people started coming to the shed, they learned about missions from day one. And we taught them to do for others what others have done for them. All the five churches we have established, they practice faith promise for missions. They help missionaries. They're doing for others what others are doing for them. But an older pastor came by the shed one day and he saw the pictures of those missionaries. And he called me aside and said, Brother Rom, you cannot teach missions to your people as of yet. Why not, Pastor? I asked. Because you're in a shed. You need to get all the money you can from these people to buy you a property, to build you a building. Then you can teach missions. I said, Pastor, I cannot do that. Because my Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things shall be added unto you. How many of you believe this promise? So let's put God first. I said, Pastor, property and building can wait a little longer, but souls for the Lord Jesus Christ cannot wait one more second. So we emphasized missions. But in less than 7 years, the church in the shed was inside its own building, given by the grace of God. One Wednesday evening service, I was teaching about tithing and faith promise for missions. And I remember one lady that came to our shed, mother of 3 boys, divorced. So she was by herself trying to provide for her children. But she came to me and after the service, and she had her paycheck. You see, there in Brazil, people, they don't receive their salaries every other week, but just once a month. And the minimum wage in Brazil today, depending on the rate of the dollar, is between $350 and $400 a month. And yet, the cost of living in Brazil is as high as it is here in the States. A gallon of gas in Brazil is more than $6. So she came with her paycheck and she asked me this question. Pastor Rom, I have my paycheck and I have three options. I want you to tell me what to do. I can use my salary to pay my debts, to pay my bills. Or I can use it to go to the supermarket and buy groceries for me and my children. Or I can leave my check here and pay for my tithes and my missionary offerings because they are all behind. What should I do? I stepped back and I said, Sister, I cannot tell you what to do. This is between you and the Lord. I have no right to tell you what to do with your money. It's between you and God. But she insisted, no, Pastor, I want you to know, what should I do? And I said, I can't tell you what to do. But she insisted so much that I finally said, I can only tell you what I would do in your place. Because I have done it. I would put God first. I would place Him in first place. But you know, Pastor Todd, when you give an answer because it is the right answer, but not because you want to answer. I gave that answer only because it was the Bible answer. It was the right answer. I don't want to play hero here this morning. Because I was concerned. I went back home that night and I hardly slept. And I prayed several times during the night, God bless her, God bless her. And down deep in my heart, I wished she had used the money to buy groceries. But 2 days later, Friday morning, she called me early in the morning. And she sounded so excited on the other side of the line, on the other end of the line. And she said, Pastor Rom, you won't believe what happened. Last Wednesday night, after we talked, I put God first. I left my paycheck in the church to cover for all my tithes and love offerings. But this morning, when I arrived at my job, there was an envelope on my table, and inside the envelope, another paycheck, a bonus from my boss, three times the amount I gave to the church. That lady stayed in our church very faithfully. She raised her three boys in our church very faithfully. Today they are grown-ups. The oldest is a successful businessman. The middle child became a lawyer and a CPA. And the youngest became a medical doctor. And they are taking good care of their mother today. Because she put God first. So if you and I want to see the power of God in our lives, the power of God in our families, the power of God in our ministries, we need to put Him first. But His power is available to all of us who want to serve Him. Second place, Jesus said, and ye shall be witnesses. Isn't that wonderful? Because a lot of people think that only preachers, missionaries are supposed to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to other people. And yet, Jesus made it clear that all of us here are to become witnesses, are to become soul winners, are to become representatives of God in this world. I like to say that sheep produce sheep. We pastors take care of the sheep, and in the quality of sheep, we produce sheep. But a church that depends on the pastor to grow will never grow. Our church depends on each one of us as soul winners. because there are people there that only you can reach for God and nobody else. It's of no use to call your pastor, your deacons, to go to them, because God wants to use you to reach them for Christ. The only reason I'm here this morning speaking to you is because many years ago, someone gave a simple gospel tract to my father inside an elevator. Many years ago, someone gave a simple gospel tract to my father. And just out of curiosity, he decided to visit the church. He understood nothing of the sermon. He understood nothing of the service. But a week later, the missionary of the church went to visit my father. And what a surprise! The address was not the address of a home, but it was the address of a bar. My father had a bar that was his business. The missionary decided to enter the bar with his Bible under his arm, and he saw a 12-year-old boy behind the counter serving liquor to the customers. That boy was me. The missionary called my father aside and he said, "Mr. Ribeiro, if you want to serve God and save your son from an anguishing future, sell this bar. Come to church with us." My father accepted the challenge. In less than a month, the bar had been sold. He went to church, took me with him, and here I am this morning, not a drunk, but a preacher of the Word of God. So praise God for the person who gave my father a gospel tract. Amen? Each one of us can be used of God to save a 12-year-old boy from behind a counter in a bar and place him into a missionary family. Each one of us can be used of God. There are people out there that only you can reach for God and nobody else. There in Brazil, we are using Uber to transport us from one place to the other. Because, like I said, the price of gallon is above explanation. So I take Uber from time to time. And I entered that car. I don't know the driver. He doesn't know me. But I'm going to be with him for the next 10 to 15 minutes. I think, there's nothing he can do about it. And I have 10 to 15 minutes to tell him about my salvation in Jesus. And some of them stop their cars, they close their eyes, and they pray accepting Jesus as their Savior. Coming back to the States, we took the plane in São Paulo. The flight was São Paulo to Atlanta. And I was in a very bad place this time. Have you noticed the airplanes, the seats are getting smaller and smaller each day? And people are getting bigger and bigger each time? That's not a good combination, is it? And I was in the middle. Literally, I was stuck by this guy. The fellow was tall, strong, big, long beard, long hair, tattoos all over the place. A tough guy. And then I was next to my wife, and she was next to another lady. And the guy was so big that it was not his fault, but he was taking half of my side. And I thought, I'm going to be stuck with this guy for the next 9 hours. But then I thought, he's going to be stuck with me as well. And there's nothing he can do about it. So I introduced myself. And very soon, I was preaching the gospel, teaching him the way to God. My daughters, they were in the back of the plane, and they told me, "Dad, we could hear you the whole time." So if they could hear me, so did everybody else. And I found out that man was a vocalist for a very famous heavy metal band. He did not accept Christ, but he promised he was going to repeat my story to his mother. We need to take advantage of our opportunities and tell others about Christ. We need to give gospel tracts out. Many, many times we'll be rejected. I told some of you this morning, I am more rejected here in the States when I give a gospel tract than I am in Brazil. It happens in Brazil too. Brazilians, they are not as direct as Americans. So they will receive the gospel tract, but when you're not looking, they will throw it away. Here in the States, Americans just say, I don't want it. But you know what? So what? I don't know that person. That person doesn't know me. It doesn't hurt my feelings. But it helps me to see when someone says, oh, thank you so much. And it happens. It happens. So let's go out and tell others about Jesus. Make sure that God will use you to be a light shining in the lives of other people. When I was only 12 years of age, a new convert, my church told me, now that you're saved, you need to tell others about Jesus. And they showed me the Great Commission, and ye shall be witnesses. I lost my job at the bar. Yes, I lost my job at the bar. My father sold the bar, and now how am I going to make money? So I found me another job, because back in those days, children were allowed to work. And I worked 45 hours per week. And I would go to school in the evening. And you know what? It was a blessing. It was good for me. So I found me a job in this car shop, washing cars, cleaning cars. The mechanics would work on the cars, and I would come behind them and wash the cars before returning them to the customers. And as I washed the cars, I always shared my testimony to the customers, to the mechanics. I was a child, but one day a mechanic older than I was came to me and said, are you sure that when you die, you're going to heaven? And I said, yes, I'm sure. Show me how. And I showed him in the Bible. And he said, I want that too. So we went to the back of the building, we knelt down, and Luis, that was his name, prayed accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was just a child when I led my first soul to Jesus. Some 20 years later, I met Luis again in a car shop. And I asked him, what are you doing? And he told me that he was a deacon in his church with his wife and 5 children. So the first soul I led to Christ was in a church 20 years later. If a child and a new convert can lead someone to Christ, you can lead someone to Christ as well. Remember, He has given you power to be witnesses. But then, Jesus also says, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And the word both here means at the same time. We are not supposed to wait for a better moment. Or let's finish this here first and then send the gospel someplace else later. But at the same time, God wants His word to be spread all over the place at the same time. On Sundays, I'm usually preaching in one of the churches we established in Brazil. At the same time, I am preaching through the sound waves of BBN International. At the same time. Just recently, I received a letter from a pastor. He just took over one of the churches that used to be behind us for many, many years. But with the new pastor, the church is changing its philosophy on missions. They decided they are not going to invest on missions abroad anymore. But from now on, they are going to use all their resources to reach only their Jerusalem. They do not understand this verse. Both means at the same time. The church in Jerusalem did not practice the Great Commission at first. They stayed in Jerusalem. They were too comfortable. They had all the miracles for themselves, all the money for themselves, all the apostles for themselves, 5,000 more people for themselves. So they stayed only in Jerusalem until God allowed a great persecution and everybody was spread around. The church was dissolved, staying behind only the apostles. But the common people, they had to go out, go away. And the common people became the first missionaries and the first church planters of the church history, not the apostles. In Antioch, they were called Christians for the first time. So that means the common people are also preachers of the Word of God. The common people is the secret to grow a church, to grow a ministry, and to get people saved. You and I together can preach the gospel at the same time. You here in Milton, Florida, and we are missionaries in Brazil, but at the same time. Now, what happens when we work under the power of God, when we are witnesses for God under His power, and when we believe in missions? We believe that the gospel must go out all over the place at the same time. What happens? God will send results. How many of you like to see results? Results will show when we obey God's word. We want to give God all the glory, but we want to say this to you. The same God who is blessing us in Brazil is the God who is blessing you in Milton, Florida. And what He has done for us, He wants to do for you. Under His power, as we become His witnesses, and as we believe, the gospel must go forward at the same time. Pastor.
As you recall, back several years ago, they tried to shut down the Christian school. There's just constant turmoil because the devil hates the gospel. And I'm so thankful that God has raised up these individuals to carry the gospel forth. And may we faithfully carry forth the gospel to our neighbors, to those that we come in contact with at work. People, as Brother Rahm said, that will only be reached by you. All right? So may God help us to be faithful in carrying forth the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time together today. We thank You for the message of Your Word. We thank You for the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power to save sinners, the power to redeem lives, the power to call people to ministry, the power to call people to be a mom or a dad or to share the gospel with someone across the street. Lord, it's not us, it's Your power that makes that possible. Father, help us to be witnesses. And Lord, help us to realize that we're to be witnesses to all, not just those that look friendly, those that might listen, but Lord, help us to reach out to all. And may we be faithful, Lord, in the task that You've given to us. Time is short. Rapture of the church is near. You're coming in the clouds to call us forth to be with Thee. May happen at any moment. There's no prophecy that has to be fulfilled first. I pray that we might be busy in the time that we have left to share with as many people the good news of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we pray for Rahm and Rachel as they go forth from us. Give them safety as they travel to Greenville. We pray that You would watch over them as they leave in a week to return back to Brazil. Defeat the devil. Put a hedge of grace about them, Lord. And I pray that You would use them in a very powerful way. And I pray that You would use us as well. May we know Thy power and Thy strength to be witnesses for Thee. Now, Father, bless us now as we go to our homes. Pray that You'd be with the Woods family today, that You would encourage them. We pray, Father, for the memorial service on Wednesday at 5 o'clock, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be exalted and magnified to all that are present. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.